I have a few announcements for you. As Tom mentioned last week, there will be a memorial for Lisa Clark this coming Saturday, October 30th. It's at 10:30. And in light of that, we will be resetting this room, and Brennan Kelly will be overseeing that. He'll be at the board in the back. But we need some volunteers. Because of the schedule of things here at the church, it'll need to be setting the room up on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. So if you could help with that, can I see a show of hands? I know it's at a weird time, but if there are enough of you that could help, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you will meet David back there, and if some of you think about it and look at your schedule, if you could help, that'd be great. And then we'll be resetting the room Saturday at 2 on October 30th, okay? And if we could use some volunteers for that, too, on Saturday after the memorial, around 2 o'clock? 1, okay. Well, maybe a few more of you, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. 6, 7, 8, no. We could use some help, because we'll take down the tables and then reset and put the tables back up and stuff. So a few extra hands would be great for that. So that would be wonderful. You could help. And then the last announcement I have, there'll be a fall work day, November 6th from 12 to 4. And you can talk to Brian Wolf or Jake Depp if you have any questions about that. But whole families are invited. It's not just for the men or just for the women. It's for the kids as well to come and help. So talk to Brian or Jake if you have any questions. And before our teacher comes up to teach, I'm going to tell you a little bit about who's teaching. I first met this woman, I don't know how many years ago. She wasn't married or had kids at this time. She now is married and has a son. She actually lived with Tom and I for a short while when she first moved here and was getting to know our God. And that was such a joy. And I remember her coming to me one night and asking me, you know, I have a hard time reading. I don't like to read, and I want to read his word. And so we started reading the word together in the evenings. We started with Ephesians, and then we talk about it. And I just got to see her love for God and his word in those times together. And it was a joy having her there with her dog, Happy. She now, and her husband as well, serve in our church and our children's work. She oversees the older age group, and Joe oversees the younger age group, 3 and 4 year olds, I think it is. I don't know, they change the numbers all the time, but I think you're at 10 to 12 year olds now, but that's Mary Ann Clark. So before she comes up to teach God's word, we're going to sing number 42, Here is Love. And if you need to stand and stretch, wiggle a little bit, you're welcome to. It's not a dancing song, but if you've been sitting a while and need to move, sometimes I need to do that. So feel free to if you need to. So here is love.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. Good morning. I'm going to pray real quick. Father God, thank you for your goodness towards us in Christ. I pray for clear words, organized thoughts to deliver your message this morning to your people, Father. And thank you for the privilege of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to talk about reasons to live as obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian and you've accepted the payment that's been made for you by Jesus on the cross, the payment for your sins, then you've also been made to be his servant. My plea this morning is that you live as one obedient to that. To be an obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to seek his will in all things. Our primary desire in everyday life as servants of Christ should be to honor and glorify the one who bought our freedom from sin. This means we have to die to ourselves. We have to let go of our own desires, our own excuses, our own feelings. Renounce them in order to seek ways to bring our master pleasure. So, let's turn to Romans 10:9. Reason number one. Most of us here have already done this, and if you haven't done what Romans 10:9 says, I strongly encourage you to talk to your neighbor after the service if you want to learn more. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So this is salvation from death. It's if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, that the Jesus is Lord, right? You're going to be saved. Okay, so if you're saved, then you've done this, right? You've acknowledged Jesus is master. He's the boss, right? In verse 10, for the heart man hath believed unto righteousness, and the mouth confession, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've been saved, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, that also means you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number one, you said it. Reason number two, turn to Romans 6. And I'll give our brother Josh Thomas a plug here. He did a teaching on this section back in 2016 as an expository teaching on Romans 6. So I'd strongly encourage you to take a listen to that if you have any questions, because he did the work on this one. But reason number two, it's who we are. We were translated from a bondage to sin to being a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's by God's design. It's who we are. It's the reality of who we are. So reason number one was we acknowledged it. Reason number two, it's who we are. OK, Okay, so let's read about that. In verse 16 of chapter 6, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Do you not know that if you present yourselves as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Yeah. Now you know. Okay, if you didn't. Verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." I'm going to read that in a different version because it's a little King Jamesy for me. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you used to be slaves to sin. but thanks to God, now, you know, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were entrusted. Verse 18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And this word "servants," as many of us are familiar with, is the word in Greek, doulos. And it's translated as servants, I think, because it's just nicer to our modern day ear. But it's really the word for slave, for bond slave. And it's just the connotation of the word slave in our present day is not great. I will argue that this slavery that we're in now, it's really good. verse 19, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." So he's telling you, okay, this is what you are. So do it. Yield. Accept it. And by accepting, I mean it's like actively, right? Verse 20, "For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So it is good. It's who we are. Reason number two, it's who we are. All right. You were purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's clear in this section and in Romans. It's, you know, there was a payment made for you. You are owned. You have a master. He's not just our savior, right? So often we credit him with this one act that he did, which is amazing. And I don't mean to diminish that because it's essential to who we are and it's incredible. But if I'm not also recognizing in my heart and in my mind and in my daily life that he didn't just save me, he also owns me now and he's also my master and I'm also subject to him as a servant, then I'm not walking out in the fullness of who I have been designed to be by God, right? So let's look at reason number three in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If the first two aren't enough, you can think about his work on the cross as Savior. Verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." So The love of Christ constrains me. Is it like I just can't help myself? Like that chocolate ice cream is just so good, and or like whatever it is, right? Like it's not just like I can't help myself from doing this thing. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. It is like I can't help myself because I recognize how delicious and wonderful this chocolate ice cream is. That I'm compelled. I can't control myself. I'm going to go eat it. Right? It's like I have a baby now, and he wakes up sometimes in the middle of the night, and I'm compelled to get up and take care of him. Right? Like it's that real and that present. This love it should be. Right? His love for us. All right. Let's read. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So because of what Christ did on the cross, his immense love that he had for us, we should be moved to serve him. It's logical. It's logical that if someone were to die in your place, that you would want your life to honor them. And that's a great reason to serve your Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue reading, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, which most of us here are, he is a new creature, what we learned in Romans 6. Specifically to my topic today, part of that new creation is being a doulos. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to him by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. All right, verse 20. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. That's what God calls us here. Think about it. What is an ambassador? It's someone who represents another entity, right? I think of it in government, right? So the U.S. ambassador in England, is he there to do of his own will? Or is he there to represent the purposes of the United States government? Does he get to decide what those purposes are or what the politics are? Or is he subject to the president of the United States? Okay, so think about that metaphor in your life. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. So walk in it. That's my plea. Romans 12. I'll call this reason number 4. It's really similar to reason number 2 because it's the logical conclusion to make, right? It's the logical conclusion to make that if you have acknowledged him as your Lord, if you've accepted his payment, if you've been saved from death and from the bondage of sin, it's the logical conclusion to make. Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, as obedient servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us here, what is it that we do? We present our bodies as living sacrifices. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Are you thinking of yourself as a servant, a doulos, who has a master? So think of yourself soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So we also read in 2 Corinthians that we should no longer live for ourselves. Here in Romans, it says we should be living sacrifices, not thinking too highly of ourselves. It also talks in Romans about the key being in our mind. Right. And I think that's the biggest challenge for us as Christians is I'm too tired, or I don't have enough money, or someone else will do it, or I just got married, or I'm about to get married, or I just got a new job, or there's like so many excuses, right? And I would argue that most of them come down to not remembering your position as a servant. So let's turn to Luke 17. It's a little side tangent here, a little side note. Luke 17, verse 7. So what's the position of a servant or a slave? All right, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Basically, would any of you say to your slave who comes in from the field after working, come at once and sit down and eat? Again, picture, like you have a slave. It's, on the contrary, verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Instead, you would say, get my dinner ready first. I'm going to eat, and then you can eat. Right? That's the typical relationship between a servant and a master, or a slave and a master. But so often, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Or we find ourselves doing what I did a few weeks, or what I realized I did a few weeks ago. I made this one-sided agreement with God. And I said, okay, God, I will serve you in X capacity. And you're going to provide these things that I want. And then I got angry. Because I wasn't getting what I wanted. So I forgot who I was as a servant, where my rightful place is. Thankfully, we have a wonderful, loving Lord who doesn't, you know, he has the right to treat us this way. He doesn't. Verse 9. Again, what's rightful from a master? Does the master thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. I don't know. these archaic words. All right, verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty. This is what we should say when we're done serving our Lord Jesus Christ. We should say, oh, I'm just a humble servant. I'm just a slave. I deserve no special praise. I've just done my duty. No special praise means also, like, not getting any, like, material gain right now in this lifetime. Now, we do know that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to hand out some rewards at some point in time. But we're not owed anything. The payment was already made. All right. Reason number five. I didn't put numbers in my notes, so I hope we're on number five. Luke 6. Verse 46. So most of us did acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, as Romans 10, 9, and 10 say. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? You said you called him Lord, right? Have you ever not manifested on a Sunday, knowing that you should? Have you ever not prayed for someone, even though they asked you to? Then you were disobeying your Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number five is, it's going to be good if you do. So we'll continue reading. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me, these are words from Jesus, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. So this is what it's going to be like for those who do obey. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So when we obey, it's going to be good. We're going to get taken care of. We're going to see the fruit. But if we don't, for those that don't, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of the house was great. So our works will be judged one day, and they'll either stand or they'll fall, right? But I would argue that even in present day, right now, it will be good for you to obey your Lord. You're going to see the fruit of it. You're going to get taken care of. I would rather live in a house that if a flood came, it didn't fall away right now, right? And that's how it is when we serve our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good. Are you still not convinced? You want a sixth reason? I got you. Turn to Philippians 1. God tells us to. And I can give you lots of other verses for God tells us to. I just chose this one. Verse 27. And it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. This word for conversation, if we look at the text, I think it more accurately should be translated, you know, citizens. So, you know, live as citizens of heaven. Seek the kingdom of righteousness. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. We're going to keep reading in chapter 2. So you can turn your page if you need to. Start in verse 1. Again, what is an obedient servant? It's one who's a living sacrifice, who lets go of his own will, who lives for the purposes of his master. So verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. It's a quality of an obedient servant. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Kathy talked about this a few weeks ago. Talked about loving. To love, you have to recognize others' needs, right? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So we do have an example. Jesus, our Lord, is an example of an obedient servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He let himself aside. He put himself aside. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that's going to happen one day. Everyone's going to be face to face with Jesus. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So if you haven't done Romans 10:9, you really should. And you're going to be face to face with him one day anyway. Might as well do it now. So God tells us to, right? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just continue to live as obedient servants of Christ, as you've been transferred into this salvation, which is a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ. Reason number 7, God's going to work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You don't have to figure out how to do it on your own. He's placed a spirit in you that gives you the ability to hear from him, to have direction, to know what to do, when to do, how to do, all of it. It's not like you have just been made a servant of Christ and left to your own devices to figure out, as one of our favorite metaphors in this church is, what flavor cake he likes, right? Like, he's going to work in you to know whether to make chocolate or vanilla, right? Or chocolate chip cookies, because cake's not even on the question, right? So he equips you, he enables you. We know that also from Philippians chapter 4. You can turn there if you want, it's just one little line. Verse 13, he says, you're going to be able to do all things through Christ. You're going to be strengthened by your Lord Jesus Christ. So you can choose to serve him obediently, knowing that you're going to get all of the information you need to do. You're going to be strengthened. I think that strengthening can be physical. It could be, you can be strengthened with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding, right? And if you're still not convinced, turn to 1 John. Chapter 2. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So he is coming back. You don't want to be ashamed that you didn't do what he asked, what he had full right to ask you to do. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay. You call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer. Have you denied yourself? Verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it benefit a person if he gains the whole world, but he loses his life? Or what can a person give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He's going to come back. Are you going to be found an obedient servant of your Lord, worthy of a reward? And I put this reason, like, last, right? God is so merciful. He gives us so many reasons to help address whatever area of life you're in, right? Maybe this reason of this like futuristic day that's not in your face right now all the time isn't sustaining. It should be, but maybe it isn't, right? He gave us all of these other reasons already, like knowing what has been done for us. Recognizing that we've been saved and that it's a reasonable response that if somebody saved you, like we talk about, like you're in the middle of the ocean and someone rescued you, wouldn't you want to try to do anything you could to like pay them back? Like, you know, you can't pay them back, but like you do whatever you can to try to please that person, right? All of these other reasons, right? And we still have this one too. And this is very real and very true that we're going to have to give account for what we've done. Our works will be judged as faithful or not faithful, as obedient or not obedient. I would love to say I'm going to get a reward one day. I don't know if I've been obedient enough or not, but like, I pray that he continues to teach me and show me how to renew my mind to these truths so that I will be constrained and compelled where I can't control myself. That's all I want to do is serve him. Go to Matthew 24. This is a parable spoken by Jesus. Shortly before he was crucified. Verse 43. You guys flip so fast, by the way. I'm used to waiting longer. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he knew what time the thief was coming, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken in and wouldn't have let his house be broken in. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Who's going to be found faithful when he comes back? I'm going to read verse 45 in another translation, the NET. It says, who then is the faithful and wise slave whom the master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom the master finds at work when he comes. It'll be good for us. We'll be blessed. Maybe we'll get a reward. Like me personally, like if he came back right now, I would be so grateful because I'm like, I'm here serving, right? I was joking with my husband about that last night. I was like, oh, if he could come back right now, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be. Maybe not this afternoon, I don't know, but blessed is the slave whom the master finds at work when he comes. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods, but that if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, oh well, he's probably not coming back today, right? I'll just watch some more Netflix instead of praying, or I have to do laundry, so I'm not going to go and preach to this person that God's giving me a vision of in the park. I don't know, I'm just giving you random examples, but like, we are so often fooling ourselves. Out of not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe you're supposed to start a home fellowship and you feel like you're not equipped to, or you have too many other things going on. Maybe you're supposed to start, I don't know, an outreach ministry for our church. Maybe you're, I don't know, whatever it is. I guarantee that we're not all doing all of the things that we're supposed to be doing. He could come back. Is he going to find you faithful? Are you going to be ashamed? We don't have the excuse of ignorance either. I didn't understand that when I got born again, it meant that I was becoming a doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe other Christians don't have that understanding, but we do. Let's keep reading. In verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Let's start in verse 48. But if that evil servant shall say, again, this is a parable, right? I don't think anybody here is evil. By nature. Okay. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't want to be ashamed when my Lord returns. I don't want to be found a slave, unfaithful, not obedient, because I think he's coming back tomorrow, and I'll do it tomorrow. So I've given you lots of reasons from the scriptures to seek your Lord Jesus Christ as more than just a grateful person who's been saved, but as a slave who seeks to please him by doing things and serving his purposes. You know, he's Lord. He's been placed at the right hand of God to rule over God's kingdom, right? He's got power and authority. It's his rightful place. It's a reasonable response. We've all acknowledged Romans 10:9-10. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I think this provides a nice recap of some of the points that I've made this morning. And I like this section because I can really visualize, like, Paul is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was extremely active in preaching the gospel. And he writes this letter to some believers that he didn't, from what I can tell in the context, that he didn't personally preach to. They heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ from other doulos. And he's writing a letter to them. And he says in verse 7, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So you learn from Epaphras the gospel, the good news. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And we heard, we heard about it. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you. Okay, that's an act of service. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that, hey, group of believers, you guys are believers, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you come to a knowledge of who you are in Christ. I'm imposing that. But I think that fits within that knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think it's much broader than that, but say for my purposes today, it includes knowing that you are a doulos. I pray that you know that you're a doulos and what that means, so that, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So you live worthy of who you are as a servant, as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, and please him in all respects. And you're going to be fruitful if you do this, right? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So Christ, he did make the payment for us. He did save us from death. He translated us. We were translated when we accepted him as our Lord from darkness to being citizens of heaven. Doulos of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our reasonable response is to walk worthy of that, to seek how to please our Lord Jesus Christ in what we do. And it's going to be good, and he's going to take care of us, and he's going to strengthen us, and he's going to help us know what to do, when to do, how to do. Right, so I feel like I've been recapping, but I'm going to recap again, all right? So reasons to live as obedient servants of your Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, when you got born again, you acknowledged Jesus as your Lord. That means you accepted him as master. You can't accept someone as master and not acknowledge that you are not also the master with him, right? Number two, God designed us this way, to be doulos. That's who we are. It's the reality of who we are in Christ. Now, you may not walk in faith. You may not be obedient to that, but the reality is it's who you are. Number three, Christ demonstrated his love for us on the cross. He earned his position as our Lord. He paid for us. So we should be constrained by that. And if you have the knowledge and the understanding of what he did, I would argue that you probably are if you are thinking about it. Number four, Romans 12. It's a reasonable act of worship to be living sacrifices. It's just a logical conclusion. Number five, It's God's will. It's what he wants. He tells us to. He tells us that in Romans 12. He also tells us that in Philippians 1. Tells us that in Ephesians. I bet if you did a study on that, you could see where he tells you to do this in every single like church epistle. Number 6. If you do, your house is going to be built on firm foundations. It's going to be good for you. Number 7, we don't have to guess at how to do it, which takes the burden off of us, right? He's going to work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God will. The last main one that I covered today was because he's coming back. And you're going to be face to face with him. And I can speak for myself that I don't want to be ashamed. I make an assumption that you don't want to either. Your works are going to be judged. Thank God our salvation's sure and permanent. I should mention that if you aren't a regular here, you could choose not to obey, and thank God your salvation is still secure. I have more reasons. We're not going to go to scriptures for them, but I'll tell them to you. He does provide. He is a caring Lord. He intercedes for us, so he's also working. It's not like he's just laid back, waiting, delegating a bunch of stuff so that he doesn't have to do anything. He's equipped us through the Spirit with power and authority and strength. I had an example I was going to share. I'll share it now. Have you ever been the only person in your house that's gotten woken up in the middle of the night? And something's just a little off. Yeah. I would say that you're serving your Lord if you take authority over your house and cast that devil spirit right out. But you could choose not to, right? You could choose not to. But you were the one that got woken up. Right? That happens to me all the time. That's why I gave that example. I wake up and then I was like, did anybody else wake up in the middle of the night? No? Okay. Well, you're welcome. Yeah. He is a good Lord. He is with us, working with us. He says his yoke is easy. Tom talked about a couple weeks ago, it is fun. And I would say, this is probably the last one that I'm going to say, is it's, you don't have to, you get to. Okay, it's a privilege to have the surety of knowing that what you're doing in life has meaning, what you're doing in life serves the purposes of your Savior and your Lord, has eternal effects, consequences. And I would argue it's that mindset that produces a joyful Paul who's in chains in prison singing praises to God. I get to serve my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, most of what I talked about today is you should. But the truth is you get to. So I'm gonna have one last thing to say, and I'm gonna take words from our brother Paul, and I'm gonna make them my words to you guys. This is, I therefore, a doulos of the Lord, beseech you, my fellow douloses, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Thank you.